And welcome back. 670 The Score at 305. We're on the air until 5 a.m. Then Dustin will drop by all the scores, all the games in Major League Baseball. Cubs won, and the White Sox lost their 120th loss, and that ties the Mets. And so one more loss, and they definitely are in the record books. They got the Angels in town, then they go on the road to take on the streaking Detroit Tigers. Meantime, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We got Oli Krutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9, Anthony Herron at 11, Tiki Barber at noon, Dan Weider at 1, Kurt Warner at 3, Jalen Johnson at 4. I mean, we got everybody right here on 670 The Score talking football with Caleb Williams, my guy, my main man. He is the only player to throw over 350 yards in a game this season, despite the Bears losing to the Colts. They get the Rams coming up noon Sunday. We'll have pregame coverage, postgame coverage on 670 The Score. Rams winners today over the San Francisco 49ers. They rallied and shocked San Francisco in that football game. Now, the Bears did rush for only 63 yards, 28 carries, 2.3 average against a historically bad defense. Tyler Farringall is our producer. Tyler, tell me about that Colts defense.
Well, they didn't take advantage, Chuck, when they had a clear chance to, as we've heard people say all week, get better, find some rhythm, especially with the run game. It didn't happen. And Chuck, I heard you say earlier that you wanted to know what the Colts' first two opponents did to them running the football.
Yes.
Well, here we go. Week one against the Houston Texans. The Texans ran 40 times for 213 yards, an average of 5.3 on the ground. 5.3. Week two, on the road against the Green Bay Packers with backup quarterback Malik Willis starting. The Green Bay Packers, 53 rush attempts for 261 yards with a 4.9, basically a 5 average. Indianapolis came into this game averaging over 5 yards, giving up a run on the defense. They gave up over 200 yards in both games. The Bears didn't even crack 100 and didn't even come close to averaging the 5 yards that the Texans and the Packers averaged the first 2 weeks. In fact, you could double the 2.3 the Bears averaged on Sunday. It wouldn't come close, or it wouldn't match up to both of Green Bay and Houston's average as a team.
That's unbelievable. Thank you for doing the homework on that. And so the Bears, again, as we mentioned, True Media Sports report the Bears have turned 5 of their 59 second down plays. So second down for the Bears. And they've had 59 second down plays. Only 5 of the 59 have gone for first downs. 8.5 conversion rate. No other team in the league is below 18.8%. That team, the Panthers. And then you got 4th and a foot, and you're going for an option read. I don't get it. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Oh, by the way, we score a touchdown. Well, are we going for 2? Are we going for 1? How does this happen? I don't know.
Matt Eberflus has had several instances the first 3 games where you could point to what is he thinking from a coaching standpoint. And I want to back Matt Eberflus. Look, last year he sold me as a defensive play caller, but that's not the head coach. We've seen a lot of times where he's made head-scratching decisions. That first challenge when I believe it was Nico Collins had that toe-dragging catch on third down. Everybody could see clear as day that he dragged that foot in. People were like, what is he challenging? The interception was a little bit closer, but you knew right away seeing the replay. They weren't going to overturn Kyler Gordon bobbling the ball twice and the ball touching the ground. And then obviously, Chuck, like you said, yesterday, the timeout fiasco going for 2 on the touchdown. It should have been a decision right there. We're going for 2. Everybody knows 14-11 is a 3-point game. It creates a lot more tension for Indianapolis. You saw him signal on the sideline, okay, extra point crew, come on out. 5-10 seconds later, two. He flashes up two.
Yep.
You can't have those kind of second-guessing moments.
No, well, that decision should have been made even as soon, even before the play is run.
100%.
So you're telling people in the box upstairs where you got like five guys there, people are over their shoulders and people writing down stuff. Okay, guys, listen, real quickly. We score here. We're going for two, period.
100%.
Okay, two. Hey, special teams coach. You know, get your guys ready. We're going for two. We're going for two. No hesitation. Let's roll. Boom. Nope. They have to burn a timeout. I'm sick. I'm disgusted. I'm frustrated. And I'm going to the phones. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. If we have that interview with the post game with Matt Eberflus that he talks with reporters, let's run that. Then I want our listening audience to take what you can out of that press conference with Matt Eberflus and then call me at 312-644-6767.
Okay, in terms of the game, you know, disappointed in the loss. I thought we had some really good opportunities out there to win the game. I was proud of the way the guys fought throughout the entire game. And my message to them in the locker room afterward was just this. It was missed opportunities. We had opportunities to win that game. The first thing we have to do is honor the football. You know, we got to honor the ball. That's the most important thing in winning. And we have to do a good job. And then once we do get takeaways, we got to score off those opportunities. And that was the difference in the game to me. They scored on those opportunities, and we did not. And so that's important that we do that going forward. You know, I was pleased with a lot of good things in terms of the distribution of the ball. I thought Caleb threw the ball and got it to a lot of different receivers today. I thought we were committed to the run, more committed to the run. I know those last two drives, we were down by two scores, so we needed to get it going there. So we were in two-minute mode, you know, so that I was proud of the way the defense fought. You know, the defense fought through the game. I had a couple of nice takeaways, had a nice fourth down stop after some sudden changes. Had a nice turnover in the red zone down there to stop a score. You know, so I was proud of that for those guys as well. But overall, it's just got to be better. We got to do a better job as a team, you know, honoring the football and, you know, and just doing the details right and playing better. So, again, my hat's off to the Colts. You know, they won the game, and you know, we left one out there today.
On fourth and goal, what were your thoughts on the option call there?
Yeah, so we go to Herbert up the middle. You know, we had the Wildcat play in the first one. You know, they ran a couple dive plays in there and got it to the inside the one, just inside the one there. And, you know, they were in big people, and we like to play. You know, we like to play. We just got to get to the second level, get to the linebacker there, zone up to him and get him there on that. We were going to pitch off the in-man line of scrimmage, and we got to execute better.
Well, guys in the locker room, so the look wasn't ideal from what the Colts showed you defensively. What was your impression?
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that because I got to look at the tape. But I know the design of the play was to go against that personnel group.
The timeout there after that first touchdown with the field goal, the kicking team on, sent out the 2-point.
Yeah.
What was the timeout about there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to be better. We have to be better there. First of all, it wasn't as good as it should be in terms of our communication there. But we wanted to get a good play on there as well. And we like to play. You know, it just didn't work out on that particular one. But again, we have to be better, stay ahead of it better, be better there.
When you say communication, you mean from the coaching standpoint, from the player standpoint?
No, that's on the coaches. On the coaches, we got to be better there from the top to the bottom, you know, from upstairs down to the bottom. So we got to do a better job there.
And there's a timeout right before the Taylor touchdown. Was that just giving the guys a breather? Or was it something you didn't like out there?
No, I'm just conserving time. They're going to try to milk as much time as they can, and I was just conserving time there to give us a chance. And at the end of the day, we did have a chance. I thought we did a really good job of scoring on fourth and one down there before the 2 minute, because we were going to be onside if it got inside the 2 minute. But then we switched our mind and went to kick it deep. We kicked it deep, and they took a knee. You know, so now we got 2:01, and we got a timeout. And if we do a good job on the on defense, which we you know, first it was second and six, which is not ideal. And then they ran the power, you know, the bounce play, and JT got outside on us. So we just got to execute better on defense. But if we went three and out there, we'd have had 50-some seconds there with the ball coming back. And, not, you know, it's not on the onside part. We kicked it deep, so we'd have a better field position. So we felt good about that right there in terms of that operation. We just got to get the ball back for the offense.
Did you want Tyrone to put it through the back of the end zone there, ideally?
One of them kick it in the end zone. Kick it as far as you can. You know, that was the plan there, and he did a good job.
Caleb threw over 50 passes today. Last week there were about as many passes, fast plays called. Is that the plan in terms of a successful idea for what you guys want to get done, or is that just game flow?
Yeah, it's a little bit game flow. I mean, we end up having 28 runs. Is that right? Something like that. I believe it was 28. Is that right, guys? Yeah, 28. You know, so you get it up there, you know, close to 30. That's a pretty good snip right there. So, again, we want to do a better job efficiently running the football. And that starts with not taking negative plays. But, again, I think we're more committed to it today. And if we didn't have those two-minute drives at the end, I think we would have been more committed to it in terms of getting it done at the end.
The personnel group is in the run game. A lot of runs out of 11, some passes out of 13. Is that, you know, just trying to stay ahead of what you think the defense is going to do?
Yeah, that's all by design, you know, what we think they're going to do in terms of their scheme. You know, a lot of times people get in base and we got better matchups that we need, you know, in terms of 13 personnel. But, again, we got to execute better on offense, on defense, and kicking game. You know, we had the one offsides, you know, that led to a touchdown there. You know, on the punt return team, it was less than five, so they tried the old, you know, head bob and all that, and they got us on it. And so we have to do a better job there.
Matt, what do you sense is inhibiting the efficiency of the running game right now?
Yeah, I just really think it's about fundamentals, right? Fundamentals, I think we're committed to it. I thought we run the ball really good on the inside and the outside in terms of play selection, which I think you need to do. You really got to stretch the defense inside, outside that way. I do feel, though, on the outside plays that we got to block the perimeter better. It seemed like we got to look at the tape there and see where we have to get that perimeter blocking done better, because it looked like there were some guys that shook loose.
Man, it's just the third game of the season, but to, you know, a lot of Bears fans, this is a discouraging loss. The way you lost, do you get that? Do you understand that? You know, why they would think this is more of a big picture thing?
Yeah, I would say this, that, Mark. I would say that. Look, you know, this is our third game, and it, you know, there was some positivity to take out of this. You know, and we're encouraged. We're encouraged in that locker room. We are encouraged, and we are, you know, we'll have our head moving forward, eyes moving forward. And we're going to get better this week. And to me, there is better production, you know, on the offensive side. You know, there was better production there in terms of who we got the ball to. And the efficiency just needs to be better in certain areas, you know, on offense, on defense, and in kicking game. And it starts with the football.
How is this a step forward for Caleb? He threw for a lot of yards, but the offense still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you saw him operate in 2 minutes. You know, the 2 minute drives that he operated in, I thought were really good. You know, and I think that, you know, he looked good in those moments to score that touchdown. You know, he got his first two touchdowns of his career today, you know, in terms of passing. And so there's a lot to build on. But I said that we have to look at each other, look at yourself and see what you can do better execution wise to get the victory next week.
Yes, both of those touchdowns came with you guys down multiple scores. They're not letting anybody behind them. You have to be careful because there's not a false positive there. You're able to move against a defense that kind of knew the situation and might, you know, allow maybe you guys to be more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's there's something to that, Pat, but I also think that, you know, you have to operate in 2 minutes in this league. You know, so sometimes you're down by a score, sometimes you're down by a field goal. You're still going to have to move the ball in that situation, and I thought we did a solid job of that today.
Matt, on Caleb's first interception, where he's going to Carter on the sideline opposite you guys, what's the message to him? I know he makes those out route throws a lot, but was that just, you know, what did you say to him after that one? What did you see?
Yeah, that's just the rhythm throw. You know, and I have to go back and look at the tape. You know, I just, you know, have it in my mind right now. So it's just a rhythm throw. You got to really feel that corner where he's located at and deliver it on time. And again, I got to go back and look at the tape, but that's what it looked like to me.
256, Coach, 56 is about the edge of Cairo's range. On the one that he missed, played before, second and third down, two passes. Any consideration of running to kind of get some insurance on that kick in case you had to?
Yeah, I mean, we're always hunting touchdowns. You know, we're in the kick line there. We're always hunting touchdowns. You know, and that we want to get a first down, you know, to go getting closer and score a touchdown. That's, we were aggressive in the beginning of the game. You're always aggressive there. You know, I don't think you're ever hunting field goals, you know, because those don't win in this league. You got to get touchdowns. And that was our mindset.
But with the wristband today to kind of help operationally, what were the conversations like to make that happen?
Yeah, it was just, you know, because I know this is a loud place. You know, so when you have an issue, you always have that to go back to. You know, so if it starts to get really loud, just go to the wristband and then he can get it out, you know, to the offense, which I thought was good. today. So if you don't have one, a wristband, then you can't go to it when it gets super loud. You know, so I thought it was a good operation in terms of using that.
All right, that is the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus. We want to get your take on what you heard from that post-game press conference as the Bears fell to the Colts, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You know, with everything going on in the NFL week to week to week, you only play one game. Everything is magnified. And a lot of people are second-guessing this coaching staff, which I totally understand, I totally buy into, and I totally get. Having said that, to be a balance, I think Eberflus was correct. There are some positive things you can build off this game with the direction, which I think is pointed north, with Caleb Williams and the ball distribution. Because there are a lot of good things happened today with Odunze, along with DJ Moore. Komet caught 10 balls today, but the running game, just not there. And a few moments ago, you heard Tyler Farengel, our producer, talk about what Houston and Green Bay did to this football team. And it was unbelievable where they were rushing nearly 5 yards per carry, and the Bulls, or rather the Bears, were 2.3 yards per carry. Unbelievable. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. They've got to get and take care of this offensive line. It's going to drive me nuts. John, welcome. 670 to the score. How are you? Okay, let's try this again. John, you're on 670 to the score. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I'm a little unhappy because they have not done what they should have done for the offensive line. I expressed my opinions early last year, and I thought they should have kept the solo draft pick, and they should have kept Justin, and we'll be a lot of better off. Even though Caleb is good, they're going to get him hurt. And unfortunately, I blame the general manager for not jumping on the offensive line. He just didn't do it. We just didn't make the right move. And we're going to be in trouble for another year or two until we fix the offensive line.
Well, I think that's going to be addressed, if not by the trade deadline. It definitely will be addressed in the offseason. You know, I mean, with the number one overall pick, you got to go with Caleb Williams. I mean, I love Joe Alt, who, by the way, is now injured with the Chargers. But, you know, the truth of the matter is I think the general manager likes the personnel on the offensive line. I'm not sure he wants to continue with the certain scheme that the offensive linemen have to play. And I think that is probably a driving point that will be discussed this week at Hallis Hall, and I would hope that they would have discussions with the offensive line coach, with the offensive coordinator, with the general manager, and with the head coach. If I ran the Bears, if I were the GM of the Bears, and I had a glaring problem and a trend that I see developing, and I want to make sure that you've got three winnable games coming up, with the Rams and with the Panthers and with the Jaguars, I want to make sure everyone's on the same page that we can tweak this thing and get it back to where I know that I have a run game, because I don't want my quarterback throwing 52 times a game, getting sacked 4 times and getting chewed up in the pocket and pressurized. And so to me, I would call a meeting and I would air everything out, get it out. Don't point fingers, but drive home the point and just say either we do it or we don't. And if we don't, then you're going to be held accountable, period.
I agree with you, and I disagree. These last two games, I agree with you. If they don't win these, they're in trouble.
Well, listen, I'm not saying they need to win all three, but they need to win two of the three. 1-2 is unacceptable. I'm sorry. Not against these three teams. And there are no gimmies in the NFL. Listen, you know, I mean, it's hard to win in sports. I don't care what league you're playing. I don't care if it's a Major League Baseball game and you're playing 162 games. It's hard to win a game, and it should be hard. But having said that, I'm telling you, going into the next three games, and you have to take, quote-unquote, one game at a time, which you do, but against the personnel of these three teams, because the Bears do have talent, and no team is perfect. They have flaws, as we're seeing unfold before our very eyes, but the Bears should win two of the next three games, at least.
Yeah. He's making throwing too many interceptions. He's making mental mistakes.
He's a rookie quarterback, and some of the things he's seen for the first time, some that he's rushing, some are just bad throws. So right. I want to give him some space here because I think he's an exceptional talent. I'm a huge Caleb Williams fan. But again, that doesn't make up for the fact that he's made some errant throws that where nobody is even close to it, or he's thrown behind him, he's overshot them. All those things I get. I understand. I can live with those things to a degree. But overall, collectively, play calling and decision making on timeouts, and it drives me nuts. And we'll see what happens. But if I ran the Bears, if I'm the GM, I'm calling in my line coach, I'm calling in my offensive coordinator, I'm calling in my head coach and say, hey, listen, you know what? This is unacceptable because we are seeing a trend here and this cannot happen. Or Caleb Williams is going to be, as you mentioned, he's going to be banged up and that's the last thing you want. So thank you for the call. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You know, positive in this ball game. We talked about Williams and what happened to him, but Cole Kmet, if we got the tape with Cole Kmet, he caught 10 catches, 97 yards and a touchdown. Do we have that post-game press conference with Cole Kmet?
Yeah, I mean, I just lost there. I got to be better. So, disappointed in my technique there, and just need to be better.
You're supposed to have some help there.
Not necessarily, no. Yeah, I mean, not necessarily. I just know on my role, I got to be better. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Cool. How would you characterize the offense's play today?
It's better than the first couple of weeks. I thought we had a lot of sustained drives. Felt like we ran a lot of plays today. I don't know how many we ran. Felt like we were out there a lot, time of possession, all that stuff. But, we just got to finish in the end zone and be better in that regard. That first one before the half, that's not the identity that we want to carry. We want to be a team that, you know, you get inside the five and you're able to go run the ball and, you know, shove it down a team's throat and just get points that way. So disappointed in that. So we need points there. And we just weren't able to get it done.
Cool. What's the frustration level then with the offense making progress but still not enough to get the win?
I think the frustration comes with the loss. You win the game, whether it's, 13-7 or however you win the game, you can look at the tape and understand that there was improvements. It felt better out there. It felt like we had more rhythm. I thought Caleb played really well, and I thought we were running it well at times. There were some good things offensively we can look at, but at the end of the day, this league's about winning football games, and we didn't get that done today.
What's your first instinct on why it was so difficult to pound it in when you guys were inside the five there?
I don't know if there's like a initial instinct on it. I just think maybe up front, I think as players we can just have a better attitude towards it, and but we just didn't get it done, and we got to be able to get that done.
When you say better attitude, what do you mean?
I think it's just that aggression, that mindset shift. And, it was a long drive and you're tired at the end, but we got to have that attitude of, we're going to finish these guys off. We should think that whatever type of run Shane calls, it shouldn't matter. Like, you should be able to dent that front. And, obviously someone's going to be left unblocked for the back for the most likely, but, we should be able to dent that front and be able to get a couple yards there to score there. So
4th and 1 call surprise you.
The 4th and 1 call.
The speed option. Speed
option. Yeah. It's a play we've practiced. We wanted to get a certain look. I don't know if we got the look we wanted on it. So that's something I'll have to take a look at. I can't, really for sure say kind of what went into all that. But, we wanted to get a certain look that they were showing on film at the goal line. And You got to give them credit. They played it right.
You got more involved in the passing game a lot more today. Did that feel good to be able to help out that way though?
Yeah, I mean, I felt good, but it doesn't mean much when you don't win. So, really frustrating on that regard. You know, I'm gonna be thinking about the one play that I had that I could have been better at. Look, I think we're gonna look at the film and we're gonna see a lot of steps taken offensively. I thought we were effective for the most part on first and second down, and we were moving the chains there. But we just got to be a whole lot better if we want to win the amount of games we want to win in this league.
You said Caleb was better. What did you like the most about what you saw out of him?
I thought at the time he looked like the number one overall pick. You know what I mean? Like he had a swagger about him, getting rid of the ball, his decisiveness with the football, giving us receivers chances. So that was really cool to see, and it was cool to see him play a game like that.
Last question.
When you guys were mounting that comeback in the fourth quarter, what do you think was working so effectively on being able to get the passing offense going there versus other times?
I think we were able to wear them down throughout the game, so you could feel them get a little bit more tired as the game went on, and you're able to do some play pass there, and I thought Rome did a really good job in some of the play pass concepts that we had, and getting open that way. So again, like I've said this in the past, when we're able to run the ball effectively, and I thought we were able to do that for the most part today. It opened up some things for the pass game as well. So I thought they just kind of started to wear down a little bit. They were out there for a lot of plays, and so I think just from that perspective, we were able to get the pass game going along with it as well.
Okay, that's Cole Kmet. Am I missing something here? Because he said the Bears ran the ball effectively. Am I missing something? And I love Cole Kmet. 63 yards on 28 carries for the Bears.
That's not effective.
2.3 average? No. So, the Bears are going to go nowhere if they can't run the ball.
100% agree.
So, again, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Again, this is only the third game. This is not panic mode. I look for trends. When someone says, how do you evaluate a player? In the NBA, I evaluate a player every 5 games because when you look at a 5-game span, you see whether or not their field goal percentage, is it trending up? Has it leveled off? Are they in a slump? And listen, everyone goes through slumps. I don't care what sport. I mean, your shooting percentage, 3-point shooting, maybe you get in foul trouble. Maybe, in the case of baseball, everyone knows what a slump is there. Football, you have slumps. And so, but, your running game has to sustain you. I'm sorry. I'm old school. You don't throw the football 52 times as Caleb Williams did today. He threw for 350-something yards, but you've got to be able to run the football. And a large part is because this offensive line didn't give holes and gaps for the running backs. And I'm sure if you're a running back, you're saying, what's up with that? All right, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. This is Chuck Swirsky. We're going to go back to the phone lines. More player commentary coming up next, 670 The Score. And we are back live right here on 50,000 watts of Bears power. 670 The Score, Chicago's number one sports station. Again, Mully and Haw and Dustin coming up at 5. This is Chuck Swirsky. Tyler Farringall is our producer. We mentioned earlier the Bears with the 63 rushing yards, 2.3 average. The Bears ran 84 offensive plays, 84, which is a lot. This is the fifth time in a non-overtime game they have run 84 or more plays, and during those 5 games, they're 1-4. How does that happen? They ran 84 offensive plays, and they scored 16 points. Caleb Williams, first 300-yard game, 363. And, this is his first of 3 games in the NFL. Justin Fields had one. He played 43 career NFL games with the Bears. Williams, by the way, set the franchise record for passing yards in a single game by a rookie quarterback, 363. Trubisky had 314.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know we want to get to some calls. 312-644-6767. Big Mac from the South Side. Big Mac, what's going on?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. If you can turn down the radio so we don't get feedback, that would be great. Yeah, so yeah. Thank you.
So thank you. As I said, I'm not surprised the Bears lost, and I really wish I didn't have to say that. But the Bears ownership refused to build the offensive line. You know, as I've been saying, Patrick Mahomes, he ain't doing it by himself. He got quarterback protection. Tom Brady didn't do it by himself. He had quarterback protection. Now, you may not agree with that, but you saw the game. Get inside the 5-yard line and can't block their way in. Ain't nobody opening up no holes.
But you know, sir, nobody, Big Mac.
You saw the game.
I saw the game, but Big Mac, this is not on the Bears ownership. This is decision-making on the part, whoever picked the offensive coordinator. And again, I don't want to throw Shane Waldron under the bus. It's 3 games. But if this trend continues, you have to take a long, hard look at how they go about selecting people for these jobs. And I don't think Eberflus has autonomy. They bring in people for interviews, and I'm sure the GM is in that interview, among others in the organization. The assistant GM, what's the assistant GM's name? Is it Cunningham?
Ian Cunningham.
Yes, very highly sought. Oh, he won't be here long because apparently he's like got NFL in his blood.
Well, I'm surprised he's even been the assistant GM for 3 years.
Yeah, well, that's going to change. But all I'm saying is that if things don't turn around, I think you're going to look at changes, and the GM's going to have to come and step into it to pick up offensive linemen in season. Very, very hard. I mean, I can't remember the last time a key offensive lineman, a really good offensive lineman, was traded mid-season. I can't think of any. And it's probably happened, but I can't think off the top of my head the last time that a fantastic offensive lineman in his prime was traded. You might get a journeyman player to come in and be a Band-Aid for, you know, a handful of games, but I'm talking about a blue chip offensive lineman in a trade in season. I don't see that happening, even in the offseason, to be quite candid. So you're going to have to find it through the waiver wire, or you're going to have to wait until the offseason for free agency or the draft. So, Big Mac, that's my answer. So, thanks very much. Leaving one line open at 312-644-6767. Let's hear now post-game comments from DJ Moore.
I think we had 3 turnovers, so that's not good. Lost a turnover battle. When you lose that, more than likely you lose the game. But we still had a shot, but once they got that first down, it was over.
Did it feel more like the offense that you think you guys can be?
Yeah. When we all hitting the chunk plays that we can get, the quick game was there. When we needed throw the ball down the field, we could. And besides the turnovers and the penalties that put us back some, I mean, you could see the offense that's coming alive.
How
first half walk away with no points, how do you moralize just being able to? I know a couple of those are for Roan, sure.
Yeah, no,
but how did you feel leaving the
half time? Felt good. Some of the plays I knew I wasn't getting the ball. More of a distraction Rome can get open. And we connected on them. And when it came down to it, the Hail Mary, shoot, I was so close. But, you know, got to find a way to score on that. But just to not come away with points in the first half is a dagger in the heart.
How dejecting was the series late in the second quarter where you guys were not able to pound the ball in on the Herbert runs and then ultimately the Swift stop as well?
Yeah, that down there we got to find a way to get in there. Jumping, passing, doing something. We got to find a way to get in there and get some points.
What did you think of the 4th-and-1 option call?
What you mean?
Did you like the play call?
I mean, it's the play call that was called, so you got to rock out with it and run it.
Does it kind of feel like a broken record when you guys keep talking about need to run the ball to be able to get this offense functioning, and it still kind of feels like you're not there yet?
I mean, if our identity is going to be passing the ball, we should focus on that, and then the run game will hit because everybody's backing off, and if we're going to run the ball, we got to do it successfully and then throw the ball downfield with play action. He looked good. Besides the, you know, the turnovers, once you get rid of that, I think he played a clean game.
Has the identity of this offense become at all clearer? Because your head coach said that you guys were working on it. He didn't really give a clear answer. What is the identity of this offense, or what should it be?
I don't know. Whatever gets us win, another win. You know, the first win, the defense and special teams got us that win, and lately. They've been holding it down, and we haven't, and we got to figure out our identity, like, now, for the sake of them.
You guys were so optimistic during training camp. Is that shaken at all after three games?
No, because you know the skill set and everybody that's in here working hard every day. Once we get that identity down from top down, we'll be all right.
All right, that's DJ Moore. And he'll be available at 8 o'clock live right here on 670 The Score at Mullion Hall. And again, if you know the identity of this football team, you let me know. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Because honestly, I have no clue. I have no idea what the identity of their offense is. Period. End of story. And if you can come up with one, you let me know right here on 670 The Score. Let's say here, speaking of identity, the Bears defense, we know their identity. Here's Jalen Johnson.
Just got to be more disciplined at the end of the day. That's not a receiver that should ever catch a pass on me. So just got to stay locked in, but he caught it. Props to him.
Pick too,
right? Yeah, no doubt.
Like,
yeah, no, pick was solid. I mean, I expect to make those plays, but I don't like giving up big plays. So, I mean, it happened. I can't remember the last time I gave one up. I definitely don't like the feeling. So, I'm going to get back to it, and it won't happen again.
What was the error?
Just mentally thinking too much, kind of trying to read routes before it happened. So, definitely just got to play ball.
Say defensively overall, I mean, you guys did a really good job except for those big plays.
Yeah.
That's got to be pretty frustrating, you guys knowing kind of how you play defense.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we knew we had to take away the explosives, and we gave up a few. So, I mean, just overall, I got to get back to the drawing board. I mean, they made some good plays, did some good things as well. So, not too much.
You're talking about the Alex Pierce play that you're infuriated by, that the big 45-yarder. Is that it?
Yeah.
So, after that happens, you're really angry about it. After that happens, how long does it take for you to get over it? Because obviously you're not over it at this moment.
Yeah, nah, it's not. I mean, for me, it's one of those things where it's like I'm not over it, but I keep playing. I mean, I know how to do both at this point in my career. So, I mean, definitely knowing what the standard is for myself, and that's not the standard. But at the end of the day, we kept playing, got off the field, man, made a heck of a play, and then in the end zone, got a pick. So, I mean, it wasn't too bad, but definitely uncharacteristic for myself.
He's made some big plays, though, but you're not Pierce.
I don't got shit to do with me.
When you look at the total defensive performance over 3 weeks, how does it sit with you to be 1-2?
I mean, at the end of the day, this is about wins and losses. So it's not good enough. We're not where we want to be right now. So it's definitely not good enough for ourselves. And we've definitely left some plays out there. We got to make them.
Well, their run game here, Taylor's pretty – I mean, that's not for you, but Taylor – yeah, the fact that he can explode like that, how frustrating is that to watch him kind of get some of those
points? I wouldn't even say the explosion. It's just him kind of waiting behind the lineman. So, I mean, even with – I'm kind of just thinking and talking about it. It's like with the change rule, being able to chop the lineman down the field, it's like you got these big guys running down the field and he's kind of hiding behind them. So, I mean, it's really hard to, I would say, stay in your gap or try to – figure out where to fit when he's running behind the lineman. So, I mean, just got to figure out ways to be more disciplined in that, find ways to get him down, tackle a little lower. I know we missed him, a lot of tackles on him as well, but he's a good back.
Did you get any explanation about the, I think it was the sermon, forward progress when they pushed him into the end zone? It seemed like they called forward progress earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't get any information. I didn't really ask about it, but, I mean, it was an odd play. But, I mean, it don't matter at this point.
You were in a really long conversation on the Colts sideline with Franklin, I think?
Yeah.
What was – I couldn't tell if it was friendly or not.
Yeah, just friendly talk. Friendly talk, nothing crazy. I mean, he's a heck of a player, so when he starts talking a little bit, you got to go over there and talk back.
All right, that is Jalen Johnson, who will join not only with Speaks coming up at 4 o'clock, but also more commentary from Bears players in hour number 4 to 5 right here on 670 The Score. You got Olin Cruz with Mully and Haw at 7, DJ Moore with Mully and Haw at 8, Brad Biggs will drop by at 9, Anthony Herron with Bernstein and Holmes at 11, Tiki Barber at noon, Dan Weider at 1, and then with Speaks, you got Kurt Warner and Jalen Johnson, and then on Tuesday at noon with Bernstein and Holmes, TJ Edwards. Again, this is Chuck Swirsky. Tyler Farringall is our producer. 10 minutes until 4 o'clock, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. This game will be dissected, cut up, chopped up by Mully and Haw, coming up 5-9 right here on 670 The Score. And then the Bears have to turn their attention to the Rams, who rallied and beat the San Francisco 49ers. In that ballgame, San Francisco had a robust lead, and the Rams came out of nowhere and prevailed 27-24. Elsewhere in the National Football League, the Giants over the Browns, and the Browns are in trouble, folks. I'm telling you that right now. They got a lot of issues with the Cleveland Browns and their quarterback situation. Giants 21-15 over the Browns. The Packers keep rolling. They beat the winless Titans 30-14. The Vikings destroyed the Texans 34-7. Are the Vikings for real? Yes, they are. They are 3-0, and Sam Darnold is the real deal, folks. He has found a home in Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy sidelined with that knee injury for the season. Justin Fields goes to 3-0. Steelers over the Chargers, 20-10. San Diego, or rather the L.A. Chargers, really hurting now. They lost Herbert during the course of the game. Broncos 26-7 over the Buccaneers. Panthers in the win column, 36-22 over the Raiders. Seahawks 3-0, 24-3 over the Dolphins. Dolphins have absolutely no quarterback play. Lions 20-13 over the Cardinals. Ravens beat the Cowboys 28-25. Baltimore was in complete control of that game, and the Cowboys almost came back and won it. And then last night, Chiefs 22 and the Falcons 17. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. In the 4 to 5 hour, you're going to hear from Mully along with Olin Cruz. We're going to have Patrick Manley. They're going to look at this ball game from a perspective of former players with Oli and Manley. And we'll also hear from DeAndre Swift. Also, we're going to replay that interview with Cole Kmet because he had some really good things to say. Remember, Donatu will also join us right here on 670 The Score. Tyler Farringall, our producer. Tyler, you hear these players. What word comes up almost in every player? Identity, right? I mean, to me, when you have a player saying we're trying to find identity, how long does that take? Why is it three games and they still don't have an identity?
It's a great question. And that DJ Moore answer when he said he kind of hesitated and said, whatever wins us the football game, that kind of worries me because it doesn't seem like they know 100%. They know the running game is weak and they have to rely on Caleb Williams as a rookie with these weapons, but they don't really know for sure what they have to do to be the most successful. And that's what kind of worries me when DJ Moore says that, the guy who's been paid the most amount of money in Chicago Bears history in terms of a contract, when he's kind of hesitating saying that, I don't really like the looks of that very much.
Do you think the Bears miss Keenan Allen?
I think they do. I think obviously the number one thing for me comes from the offensive line, but now when you think about it a little bit, yes, some of these decisions are on Caleb Williams. Having another target in Keenan Allen would be so beneficial. He's Mr. I'm going to get 10, 15 yards on third down. He's that medium route guy, and you have to have those in the NFL. You can't live off the long ball. You can't live off the short ball. You need those intermediate routes, and that's what Keenan Allen's been so successful at throughout his NFL career so far with the now LA Chargers.
Yeah. I would think that he will want to play coming up. I mean, he's missed two games with a heel, and I'm not a doctor. I have no idea the prognosis of that, but I would think 2 weeks off, hopefully it'll be he'll be healthy for that ball game coming up against the Rams. And remember, he's a free agent at the end of the year. And
contract year?
Yes, and you know he's got to be on the field. If he wants to get paid, like a lot of wide receivers are, even though he's in the twilight of a fantastic career, he's got to produce.
Well, and I remember hearing him say, too, I believe this was right leading up to the Tennessee game. He talked with Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus on the Wednesday before the Titans game, and he number one, said, I'm not looking for $35 million a year. I'm not looking for Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb money, but I want my money. He knows his worth. He knows as an older receiver, now 32, he's not going to be paid top dollar, but $25 million a year, $27 million a year. How much are the Bears willing to give up if he does play and is productive? Because look at what Caleb Williams is trying to do, Chuck. He's trying to be a pocket passer, get rid of the football. That would help him so much, having a guy like Keenan Allen up the middle, open, doing these little slant routes. Caleb Williams would be getting the ball out to him very quickly. No problems, really.
So you don't think if Rome has a really good year as rookie year, that will kind of soften the blow if they don't elect to re-sign Allen?
No, I don't think this has anything to do with Rome. I think as of right now, you kind of know what your bet is with the offensive line. There's really no long-term fix as of right now. You kind of just have to deal with what you have. But having a guy like Keenan Allen out there, so good at those shorter to intermediate routes, with Caleb Williams seemingly wanting to sit in the pocket, if he has a safety blanket in Keenan Allen, that could be doing wonders for him in terms of wanting to get rid of the football. Because look at that fumble, Chuck, that cost the Bears the game. He hung on the ball a little too long. There was no urgency. Having a guy like Keenan Allen would really, really make a difference, I think, for him, a young quarterback wanting to sit in the pocket like a traditional NFL quarterback usually does.
Okay. What do you think of my thoughts about getting the play in quicker and picking up the speed of going to the line of scrimmage?
I think that's a big part of it. There definitely is some confusion, and I don't know if it's more so he doesn't like the play call and is audibling out of it, or if he is trying to diagnose coverage and is like, no, we got to get out of this. We don't know truly what
that
is. Well,
it sure sounded that had he had time, he would have changed the play at the line of scrimmage on the 4th-and-1, where they went with with the option.
It surprises me that he didn't, because
He said he didn't have time, though.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind, though, with that is, that's a college play. What are you even thinking of? Why are you even thinking of running that in that type of situation?
Yep. Okay, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We're going to take your calls. More Bears commentary coming up right here. It's a Bears Monday, and we are having a good time talking Bears football right here on 670 The Score, brought to you by Plumbers 911 Football, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank.